young players and young stars are on the Pacers. And signing Tyrese Haliburton to his massive extension, bringing in Pascal Siakam this summer. Well, the Pacers haven't stopped. They had two big pieces of news today that I saw on your Twitter feed. Tell me all about it for those of us joining in here on the Crazy Horse Tavern Happy Hour for Pacer Talk with Dustin Dupirak from the Indianapolis Star.
Yeah, no, I thought that pretty significant news. Obviously, Andrew Nembhard signs a 3-year extension worth $59 million. He was the second-round pick, and he was eligible for a rookie-scale extension after 2 years. The cap on that, the biggest one he could have signed, would have been a 4-year, $80 million deal. But obviously, if he would have held out for free agency, he certainly, there was the possibility that he could have got more than that. Certainly, there's also the possibility that he could have gotten less. Basically, that would have ended up being a risk that didn't pay off. I was a little surprised, and there was definitely a period where I thought he definitely wouldn't sign it just on the basis of, hey, you know, if you're viewed as a lead guard, if you're viewed as somebody that that other teams believe they could put, you know, the keys in your hand, then, you know, you can command a higher salary. And if he would have had another season in which he had a lot of performances like he did in the playoffs, he might have been able to convert that to a big, you know, a deal that turns into nine figures. There obviously is some risk there because, again, in two seasons, he hasn't averaged double-figure scoring, averaged 14.9 per game in the playoffs, and obviously had those two huge performances when Tyrese Haliburton was out in the Celtics series when he had 32 and 24 in the last two games of that, even though the Celtics got swept. So he was obviously at a point certainly where, you know, his stock was pretty high, and again you could you know kind of keep playing at the table and hope that maybe if you're a free agent in 2 years then you can go higher than that, but it's also it's a pretty big raise to start with. I mean, as a second-round pick, you can only pay him so much on that rookie scale, and he was due about $2.02 million this year. He's still going to get that. Next year is when the contract kicks in, so then he's going to get around $18 million in a build-up in the next 2 years. The deal works out for him that he can still go to free agency at age 28, and obviously the Pacers can afford to move on from him if they don't get the production they need at that point, or they need to justify a further contract. But still, you know, kind of good to keep him in the fold. Also, keeping James Johnson around, obviously, man, they really like this, you know, having this guy around, and they seriously do not care if he plays. His veteran presence in that locker room, I mean, he's just a really positive force in that locker room, kind of coach on the sideline. But again, he's also the guy that when things get a little bit hairy, James Johnson stands up, and that's the end of it. And that's worth the money, especially.
Yeah, things don't get hairy. That's the whole point. They don't get hairy. He prevents hair.
Exactly. Exactly.
But it's true.
Cut that out real quick. Stands up. Nobody wants to mess around.
Well, that's it. And all that do, and he's the first guy at the center circle, they retreat. And I don't blame him. Folks, if you haven't paid attention, we've talked about it before. James Johnson is a legitimate black belt in whatever discipline. Yes, yeah. Whatever discipline he enjoys most. And if you think, oh, wow, that $3 million could be used. No, it can't. No, it can't. You don't buy anything in the NBA for $3 million, do you?
Right. Especially, it's the 15th spot more than it's even the $3 million. I mean, you obviously hit, like, if you happen to sign three guys to max contracts, you end up needing a lot of those veteran minimum contracts to fill out your roster. So, I mean, you can get good players for $3 million. They're not going to be paid James Wiseman very much, and they'll expect him to contribute more on the floor. But your 15th guy on your roster does not play very much. You know, basically you've got a 10-man rotation, usually a first and second unit, and your 11th and 12th guy might have to play for foul trouble reasons or injury reasons or whatnot. But you get down to 15 and that guy's not playing a whole lot, so he's got to give you something else. And James Johnson gives you a lot else. James Johnson is a guy who's very valuable when he doesn't play. So basically your 15th man needs to be a guy who can be valuable if he doesn't get on the court, James Johnson is.
Yeah, locker room in the heat of battle in all points in between, and showing the young guys how to be a pro. I think that's the other part of it as well. Dustin Dupirak is our guest this afternoon. He checks in. And, he's been in Las Vegas, Pacers Summer League. We're not really concerned about wins and losses. We're concerned about who's going to make it onto the roster of the G League. Tell me what you saw, buddy.
What's that? Sorry, I missed that last part.
That's all right. Just in Las Vegas, you talk about James Johnson being the 15th man everybody else trying to find their role in this organization, whether it's in the G League or in those spots 11 through 14. Well, we had some name players for a little bit there in Summer League. We're not worried about the wins and losses. We're worried about development. Tell me what you saw in Las Vegas.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't go to Las Vegas, so I was watching it from TV like the rest of you guys. That wasn't part of the budget this year. Obviously, we did a lot of traveling before that. But I watched all those games. And, you know, to your point, as a collective, not very good. If that team had to go out and win games, the Pacers would be in some trouble, but it doesn't. So that's obviously good fortune for them. There was way too many turnovers for that group. But individually, obviously, Jairus Walker and Johnny Furphy, I think, were kind of the headline guys. Walker, I thought, did a lot of good things. I don't know that he guaranteed himself a rotation spot. Certainly it's not going to be easy to get one. They're trying to expand, you know, kind of his positions. Obviously, they're trying him more at small forward. He played some shooting guard. You saw him shoot the ball really, really well. It's around 45.8% from three. You saw that he's gotten so much better at shooting from distance. He can still handle the ball really well. You saw some really slick passing. Basically, a lot across the board, you know, good offense. Also showed his ability to, you know, post up smaller players, get some easy buckets that way. Defensively, you still want to see more, I think, because he's got all the physical tools. You just haven't seen him put together in terms of just having, you know, the real get down and guard somebody discipline you need to have. And he's got the length to keep people in front of him and the size and the body and everything. But he hasn't just turned around into sort of defensive fundamentals yet. But I think you still want to see, and I think he's going to need, if he's going to try to beat out, you know, even a Ben Shepherd, even if he's trying to get a rotation spot ahead of him, maybe, you know, you're presumably Obi Toppin and Benedict Mathurin are going to be guys either for Mathurin either the two or the three and Toppin at the four. So if you want to get in that mix, I think Walker's got to show some things that they don't necessarily have, and that means better being a better defender than them. And I don't know if he's proven that yet, but, I mean, he's still proven he's a – interesting player, and so he's going to be a part of this in some way. Certainly, if guys get hurt or whatever, he's going to be the first guy to get a shot. But I don't know if he's in your top two units right out of the gate. He's going to have to earn a little bit more there. Thought Johnny Furphy is closer than a lot of people might have realized. I was really impressed with what he did as far as moving without the basketball. That was something they really liked about him, and looking at his college tape and other stuff, that it wasn't just his ability to shoot the ball from distance, which is important, but he just really fits well in an offensive scheme because he knows when to cut, when to dive to the bucket, you know, when the space, just kind of how to fit in within a team concept playing offense. And that's obviously really important for these Pacers who play a lot of organized chaos. It's a lot of kind of figuring out on the fly if you don't have the ball where you're supposed to go. And I thought Furphy saw a lot of capacity for Furphy to be that guy, to know when your opportunity is to go get a dunk, you know, and whatnot. And I think you saw a lot of good athleticism from him, got up a lot, rebounded the ball well. You just really see how he fits in a system. And I thought that was really impressive for a young guy, you know, for a 19-year-old kid who only played 1 year in college, that he's got that kind of basketball IQ to kind of know where he has to be when he's not dominating the ball.
Well, he was rewarded by the Pacers, signed a 4-year deal, so he has a peace of mind here just to figure out what it's like to be a professional in the NBA, learn how to train properly, learn how to diet, and do all the other great things that go along with that. I don't want to say he's not playing for his job. Everybody's always playing for your job. But the Pacers, similarly to Nembhard, saw him, traded up for him, and put a big contract on him to get started. I hope the dots connect the same way.
Yeah, no, it seems that they could. Obviously, they're deeper now than they were when Nembhard was drafted. Certainly, they needed more guys to be game ready, and they're not in a position they need Furphy to be game ready right now. But obviously, like I said, I mean, over the course of 82, injuries happen, illnesses happen. You know, like guys always have to miss a couple games. You know, you're not going to go through a year with, you know, zero games missed by guys, so by rotation guys. So somewhere in there, there could be an opportunity for him to get on the floor, and I think he's more ready from that than certainly I realized, and I think even maybe the Pacers might have realized.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Yes, that's big. I think there's a couple other guys that had some okay performances, but, you know, having your second-round pick and knowing that he's a guy that you can trust to play right away if you need him, I think was a big development for them.
Now, the other part of this equation, or I don't know if it's an equation, a piece of a puzzle, whatever it could be, I thought we saw enough of Ben Shepherd in the last couple months of the season where maybe he gets the summer league off. He didn't. He was in uniform for a handful of games. What was the idea behind that, do you think, from the Pacers?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was it. He just, I mean, remember, they played Nembhard and Mathurin last year, you know, so On one hand, I mean, I can tell you he was probably a little surprised because even, I mean, they were actually kind of joking about it in the locker room back in New York. I remember, you know, a couple of the older vets telling him, yeah, Ben, you're not going to have to play in that, man. You're a rotation guy in the playoffs. Like, they're not going to need you for that. But they did. They obviously decided they wanted to, you know, see a little bit more there and just, I don't know, maybe just get him some work, whatever it was. I think they just, you know, they just wanted to get him some action. You know, I mean, he played a lot, but, you know, like, there was some work to do. Obviously, Nembhard started a ton of games, and they still wanted him to come back, and they obviously still wanted Mathurin to come back. So, you know, gave him a couple games. I think another thing is they like keeping him with Walker. They like making sure that Jarris doesn't feel like he's out on his own there, and those two guys get along, and presumably, you know, like, it was fun for them to be in Vegas together. So I think that's a small thing, just not kicking Jarris Walker too hard in the ego to make it out to be that Ben is so far ahead of him that he has to play and Ben doesn't. So, I mean, I think that might have something to do with it. You know, obviously they didn't say that to me, but I wouldn't be surprised if that was part of the case. But, you know, got him a little bit of action. I mean, he didn't have to do a lot. I don't think he had anything to prove is more to the point. So that I think was the biggest reason there, was just to, you know, get him some action. They could, you know, like it was still good for him to get some time in there. And it, you know, couldn't hurt anything as long as they got him off the floor pretty fast. And they did, obviously, after 2 games.
Yeah, get him some reps just to see how that works along. Interesting dynamic there with the two first-round picks. That's why we have the insider, Dustin Dupirak, from the Indy Star. Support local journalism. Buy a subscription. Follow along on the X at Dustin Dupirak. Talking Pacers, the big hot story that's obviously brewing around is why Tyrese Haliburton isn't getting any run at the moment. The Olympics haven't started yet. It's a exhibition game, for lack of a better term. All publicity is good publicity. Hanging out and being just around these star players can't possibly hurt Haliburton, whether he plays a minute or not. And I disagree. I disagree with your colleague. If they lose a game and he doesn't play, it's not going to be the biggest story of the Olympics. Greg needs to calm down a little. Just calm down a little bit, can we?
I'm gonna not comment on that.
That's fine, that's not the biggest story of the Olympics. It's not. But the big story here is. The biggest story is Caitlin Clark isn't there. But let's talk about Haliburton. Just being along for the ride is great.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think that was why. I mean, I've been saying this since the beginning. You know, there was discussion as to whether or not he should take the Olympics off. When I say there was discussion on Twitter among Pacers fans who would ask me, you know, do you think he should even go? You know, or should he take this off to heal up that hamstring and make sure he's as strong as he can be for next year? And, you know, I understood the question, but he just wanted to be there so bad. You know, I mean, I think, and he's a guy who has an understanding of the history of, you know, the importance of this, knowing, you know, this is LeBron's last ride. It's probably Curry and Durant's last ride. You know, this is a team that's, you know, especially if they win gold, is going to be remembered. You just want to be there. You just want to be a part of it. You just wouldn't pass up the chance to be in this. So, you know, yeah, he's already talked about, like, ways he's going to pick people's brains. I mean, like, just to be around them as they're going through just their preparations. You know, like, he was a huge LeBron fan as a kid. I mean, you got to remember, like, you know, LeBron got into the league when Tyrese was 4, you know, or 3, I think. You know, three years old, you know, basically before his first real birthday, you know, before Tyrese's first February 29th. After he was born, you know, LeBron James was in the league. He's been in the league that long. So, he's going to be, he wanted to be part of this so bad. So again, if all he does is wear a uniform and cheer for guys, he's not going to wish he didn't do it. But obviously the more playing time he gets, the better. It's just, you know, making it make sense. I mean, obviously the guy who's getting his minutes was the late addition, Derek White. And there's no doubt, there's nobody that would argue that Derek White isn't a better defender than Tyrese Haliburton. Anybody that's watched either one of them for a minute knows that. But obviously Haliburton has sort of more offensive capacity. So it's a question of what do you need when out of that second unit. If you need the offense, if you need the spark there, you're going to play Tyrese. If you need somebody to get down and guard, you're going to play Derek White. And so that's going to mean each of them is going to have some minutes cut down.
Well, the other part of this as well, if Halliburton didn't go to the Olympics, he would be working out somewhere with some other players. He just gets to do it with the most elite of the elite. These guys do not sit around and eat bonbons in Cancun for 3 months, contrary to popular belief. They work out all the time. They are in constant shape. That's what it takes to be elite. You want to make 55, 60 million bucks a year, kids? Well, you got to have some God-given talent and you got to work hard, and that's exactly what he's doing. And just because he gets 2 weeks at the Olympics, that is better than anything else. And you're right. To pick all the brains, how do you win? How do you team build? How do you? All of it. He's surrounded by greatness, and that's how people get better. You surround yourself with great people, and that's why I have you on. Hell, I don't know anything. I go to the people that know everything. That's why the guest list is loaded, buddy. I hope you're having a great summer. I hope you had a great vacation back there in June. And what's next for the Pacers? We've got about a minute left. What's next on their calendar? Everybody comes back from the Olympics, then we go away for a little bit. What are we looking at?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing official really until, you know, sometime end of September will be when camp starts. You know, obviously the rest of this will just be, you know, kind of bopping around. I mean, they're pretty close to having, they essentially have their roster finished. There's, I think, a couple more decisions to be made. I think one of them is really the two ways, you know, presumably Tristan Newton and Enrique Freeman. I think Enrique Freeman already has a two way. Obviously, I think they got to, you know, come to a conclusion with Tristan Newton on his. And then they'll have one more two way to deal with. Obviously, Quentin Jackson and Oscar Tshiebwe both made a case for theirs. They're technically restricted free agents. They obviously could look elsewhere and let both of them walk. They could decide to keep one of those guys. I think each of them did some things well and some things not so well, during summer league. So they'll have to make a call there. As far as the group, they have a while. They just have to, you know, make some small decisions, you know, decide if they're going to keep Kendall Brown. Maybe they'll bring him in for camp. Obviously, they've got some exhibit 10s and whatnot to deal with in terms of filling out a camp roster, decide exactly how many guys they actually want to bring on, piece a G League thing together. But, you know, this is the time of year when it starts to quiet down. I think there's a few more deadlines. I think TJ McConnell's got one coming up where he becomes officially extension eligible. They can work on one with him. I think that's, you know, maybe the last big piece of news. Obviously, he's under full contract for the rest of this year, but it seems like they want to keep him around for a little bit longer. So, we'll see what happens from there. If they extend him, and if so, for how long. So those are kind of the big pieces left. But as far as just getting everybody together, they quiet down for a while after summer league.
All right, good. Well, you enjoy your break as well, buddy. If any other big news happens, we'll come back and get with you. Thanks so much, Dustin. You're the best.
Absolutely best. Thanks, sir.